Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today is Wednesday, July 24th, 2019. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we are studying the paragraph, the very first paragraph on page 43 in More About Alcoholism. The first paragraph begins with the words, Fred's story speaks for itself. Today's readers are Bernie W. for the 12 steps, Darian K. for the 12 traditions, Des M., Penny L.C., and then Janice P.M. is going to greet our newcomers, and Reggie O. has some announcements after our recording ends. The reference number for yesterday's meeting at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, that would be for July 23rd, Tuesday, is 13189. That's 13,189. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. meeting, Eastern Standard Time, Wednesday, July 24th, is 13191. That's 13,191. DOA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I'm going to ask Bernie W. to please read the 12 steps, and then we'll have Darian K. please read the 12 traditions. Bernie W., will you please read the 12 steps for us? Star 1 to unmute, please, Bernie. Bernie, if you're speaking, we want you to know that we can't hear you.
Sorry about that. I don't know how I
there
got
we
muted.
Are. Thank you.
Hi. I'm Bernie W., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Pennsylvania, calling in from New Mexico this morning. And here are the 12 steps. One, we admit that we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all people we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to other alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I pass.
Thank you very much, Bernie W. And Darian K., will you please read the 12 traditions for us? Star one to unmute, Darian.
Hi there. I got remuted. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, just fine.
Okay,
thank you.
Great. All right, the 12 traditions. This is Darian K., by the way, from Berkshires of Massachusetts. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority. A loving God is me express himself in our group
I'm sorry, Darian. Could you please press star one to unmute? We lost you at group conscience. And that may have been...
Hi there. I got remuted again.
Thank you so much.
Should I start at the beginning?
We lost you at clear conscience. At conscience.
Okay. I'll just start at the beginning here. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority. A loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Thus, problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for my time.
Thank you so much, Darian Kay. Appreciate your jumping in. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then please use star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet line, everyone's phone, except the speaker, should be muted using star 1. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are in the chapter more about alcoholism, and we're on page 43, reading and commenting on the first paragraph. And I will now ask Des M. to please begin reading.
Good morning, this is Des M., recovered compulsive overeater from Victor, Colorado this morning, and this is page 43. Fred's story speaks for itself. We hope it strikes home to thousands like him. He had felt only the first nip of the ringer. Most alcoholics have to be pretty badly mangled before they really commence to solve their problems. And just a really powerful little paragraph. And I was kind of looking back into what we've been reading about Fred's story and, the self-knowledge didn't avail him anything and resting on his laurels. The thought, the obsession came into his mind. And then he got to the blank spots and just everything about his story. And the only solution was the spiritual solution that we have. And what is really popping out of me in this paragraph is that the most alcoholics have to be pretty badly mangled before they really commence to solve their problems. For me, when I came into program, I was like 70 pounds heavier than I am now, but I was just pretty badly mangled in my head. There was no ease and comfort throughout any of the 24 hours of my day. And there was lots and lots of self-will, and I was even in another 12-step program at the time, but I didn't have that solid relationship with my higher power. That was just like building that relationship every day. It was more trying to figure out the story. What is my self-knowledge? What can I gain? How can I eat like a lady and, still live life and be happy? And this even like popped up in a different way when I was in program for a couple of years, but then got to rework the steps and vision, with entire abstinence. And the badly mangled for me then when I was choosing my abstinence, not looking at what really conceding to myself what my trigger foods were, what was alcoholic to me, not what I thought was, but what I sat with my higher power, figured out with a sponsor and conceded to my innermost self that were alcoholic for me, it was just insanity. And I kept my obsession was just going over and over and over, and I didn't have even comfort or relationship with my higher power. And, and I had to get to a place of just another surrender and getting to work these steps like really fast and furious, and like my hair was on fire. And, now I have a spiritual solution, and I'm on vacation visiting beautiful in-laws in this beautiful mountain and drinking lots of water. And how the program is working in my life today is I don't have to get badly mangled before I can literally get on my knees like I did yesterday and pray for help, because a lot of my comfort out here, my comfort levels are just all the elements of the mountain that I'm used to living in, sea level, but God's totally taking care of me, and I don't have to go into victim mode. And I get to be reminded through doing 10 steps on my vacation, how can I be of service today, how can I be helpful, and just be put back into that frame of mind, because this program is a program of action. And just like in Fred's story, self-knowledge didn't avail him anything. So I'm so glad that I have a solution today. Before, when I had bad days, I didn't have that solution to seek my higher power's guidance. And today, I can just jump right in. When there's not even comfort, I can seek it. So thank you for letting me be of service today, and have a beautiful day. I pass.
And thank you for doing service on your vacation in the mountains. That's awesome. Okay. Well, we would love to hear anybody else who has a comment on these paragraphs. If you share often, you want to just give a chance for someone else to get on the queue. But who would like to comment on these on this paragraph?
Janice PM.
Roz G.
I heard
Lisa J.R.
PM, Roz G, Lisa J.R.
Deborah S.
Kathleen O.
Lisa G. Kathleen O. and Lisa G. And I think that's all we got time for. So I know that we had about 25 people all share their name at once, and I didn't get to all. So we're looking forward to the next lineup after Janice P.M., Roz G., Lisa J.R., Deborah S., Kathleen O., and Lisa G. So glad you are all here, and let's hear from Janice P.M. first. Please go ahead, Janice. And
now
else.
I'm unmuted. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for hearing my name. Yeah, Fred's story speaks for itself. Well, what is this story about? Well, I can identify not only with Fred and the jaywalker and the man of 30 and the Jim. And I'll tell you what the commonality is their self-knowledge. Well, I had a lot of self-knowledge about myself, about what to eat, hearing about the 12 steps. And I also thought that willpower, when it says willpower, it means what's in my mind, not anybody else's. My will is my thinking. So those are the two things that is the stories are all about. And I found that they didn't work. And how I got mangled was when I got mangled in January 2010, somebody told me to get on a conference call, which I did, which a lot of the people in Vision for You were. And I heard those same people from the Vision for You talk about their recovery. And I said, oh, and I wasn't supposed to get that telephone number because that wasn't, you know, that wasn't on any conference call list, but I don't know how I did. But anyway, before I got that number, I was so afraid because I ran out of methods. I didn't know where else to go. And I did a lot of things like a lot of us did. And I was really afraid. Now it was January. Now what am I going to do? What group am I going to go in? What book am I going to read to get this illness underway? But, you know, it also speaks and teaches me that it doesn't matter if you're a high bottom or a low bottom. It really doesn't matter because you know why? Whether I'm high or I'm low at the time, and I was high, then I was low, I got drunk with food the same way. There's no difference. Whether you're high bottom, low bottom, I got drunk with food, and it progressively got worse no matter what I was because I didn't know the progression of this disease, you know. I didn't mean that I could have all the self-knowledge I can get, but still eat compulsively. Because my human power, my own human power, or others in the fellowship, would not help me because my will was still mangled. Let's say my will was still mangled. I still thought like I thought. I still behaved. And that was that. So,
gentle reminder?
Yeah, good. So most alcoholics have to be pretty badly mangled, you know, but the progression of the disease and the powerlessness will drive us to the steps, drive me to the steps to solve my problems. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Janice M. Ross G., you're up next, followed by Lisa J. R.
Good morning. My name is Roz G., and I'm a compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. Thank you for your service. And I listened to the early meeting on the recording, and I listened to everybody talking about their mangling. And I want to share about mine. My sickness, I think the deepest part of my sickness is keeping my weight down. Keeping my weight down is the biggest part of my sickness because the way I keep my weight down is to exercise, to mask, and to compensate for what I'm eating. Now, I'm talking in the past tense because I'm not doing that today, but I'd like to keep it in the present tense just for the purpose of this share. And so I get two surgeries, surgical knives going in operating rooms to work on my foot because of plantar fasciitis. First of all, from being too overweight and on my heel, and then over exercising and jogging and pounding my heel into the pavement, having surgery and then doing it again after the surgery. Then having shoulder surgery from overlifting weights that are too heavy for me because I'm addicted to exercise because I'm compensating for what I'm eating and I'm hiding all of my eating under my working out. And then getting shoulder surgery, having all these months off from work to rehabilitate my shoulder, and then going back to the gym and doing it again. This is I'm asleep, I'm delusional, and I'm keeping my weight down. Am I getting a spiritual experience through that? No. If I'm eating abstinent food and I'm not having an alcoholic mind and I'm seeking help from others and I'm a part of this group and I'm helping others and I'm praying in the morning and I'm asking God for direction and strength and for His will, His will is for me to eat abstinently and to go to a yoga class. And to go and help my mom who's not feeling well. And to get in my garden and enjoy nature. Not to be in the dang gym every day, hurting my shoulder even more. So that's my mangling is over exercising, the delusion of keeping my weight down.
Gentle reminder.
Weight, thank you. Weight is the last thing for me. Spiritual experience is the first. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Roz G. Lisa J.R., you're up next, followed by Deborah S.
Thank you for your service, Elaine. Lisa J.R. here from Baltimore, Maryland. The old nip of the ringer. When I first read this with my sponsor in the big book, I could relate in immediately because I used to have an old-fashioned ringer, and we used to do the horse laundry down at the barn with this thing, and it was really tight, so if you put a bandage in there, soaking wet, it would come out dry on the other side. But a lot like my disease, this thing did not have a backup on it. It would not reverse, so once you got something in that ringer, you had to go all the way through and squeeze it out. And there were times when, you know, I put something in wrong, too bad. There was no reverse, and it's just like my disease. Once I crossed over that invisible line where I was suddenly petrified because I couldn't get a handle on this thing. When I was playing games with my exercise bulimia for years and years, thinking, man, this is a great solution. I can eat like a lumberjack and just keep running. Well, hey, the wheels fall off as you age, as they did with me, and my solution no longer worked, and I couldn't outpace the copious amounts of food I was eating that I was powerless to overeat. I was just like a machine, just plowing through the food. So, you know, once I became this cucumber became a pickle, I know that I'm stuck in that ringer. That this is who I am, and all I can do is seek the spiritual solution for this so that I can let God have it every day. I'll never be a cucumber again, but God can help me every single day to have a healthy, happy life, and I don't have to be in the food. I don't have to be self-flagellating, you know, beating myself up on a daily basis because I can't control myself. And it's a freedom like no other freedom. And thank you all for helping me do it one day at a time. With that, I pass.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lisa J.R. Deborah S., you're up next, followed by Kathleen O.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thank you, Elaine, for your service and everyone on this line that makes this possible. My name is Deborah S., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. And, you know, I love the description over here. He had to be pretty badly mangled, and everyone's been talking about what that means. And it just reminds me at the beginning of the chapter on page 30, again, he uses description. We are like men who have lost their legs. They never grow new ones. And I just, like, think of that, like, yeah, you know, I that's it. I've lost the right to eat like normal people. I've abused the privilege of food because when I consume this food, first of all, I don't even know what a high bottom, a low bottom is. I just know that I am a compulsive overeater who just can't stop. Once I start, once I put these substances into my body, that there's no return, and you know that's it. I don't know, and I eat for every reason there is to eat. You know, whatever there's out there to eat, I will eat whatever the reason is. You know, I could eat, whether it's a snowstorm, a sunny day, whatever it is, that's it. All roads led to food for me. So I got myself pretty mangled up in this, you know, in my disease. You know, to talk about mangling, you know, I got myself up to, you know, over 280 pounds. I developed high blood pressure, diabetes. I developed neuropathy in my feet, which I still have today. And I even at one point, I was pregnant, I had eaten so much one day that it brought on false labor pains. And, you know, we were so excited. I'm going to the hospital to have a baby. And I get to the hospital and the doctor said, there's nothing doing here. You're not in labor. It was just a result of overeating. And, you know, later on, you know, in 20 years ago, when I was pregnant again at 280 pounds, the doctor put me in the hospital to monitor me during that pregnancy because the diabetes was so out of control. I really did a number on myself getting mangled up. But this is the language that I need to hear, because it can't be, you know, frothy emotional appeal. It doesn't work for me. I need to have this picture in my mind on a daily basis of what this disease does to me, you know, in all areas, physically, emotionally, spiritually. It divorces me from everyone around me, and it puts me into isolation, into self-pity, into living in a dark pit where I just want to be left alone and be in my sorrows and pain and woe. So, you know, thank God I'm not living like that today.
That's a reminder.
You know, thank you, Elaine. And I'm just so grateful to have this way of life, to have these spiritual toolkits that were left to me, and to be abstinent and to be in a thin body. Thank you, God. It is a miracle each day that the privilege that I get to do this every single day and to be here with you and to trudge this road of recovery with all of you. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, too, Devorah S. Kathleen O, you're followed by Lisa G, and then we'll take on some more readers. I mean, some more people who want to comment on this reading. Please go ahead, Kathleen O.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you so much, and thank you for your service this morning. Most of us have to be pretty badly mangled before commencing to solve our problems. And, you know, this doesn't say problem, but problems. And I had a food problem, and I did severely damage, you know, mangled is to severely damage and disfigure. And I did that to my body by getting up to over 200 pounds. And losing the weight did not make my body go back to perfection, trust me. You know, because I was constantly blowing it up and deflating it, blowing up and deflating it. And if you do that with a balloon, you know what it looks like. So, you know, I had a food problem, but I had a ton of other problems too. And most of them boiled down to people not following my script. So my problem wasn't just destroying my body with the quantities of junk I shoved down my throat, but I had problems, you know, and I had to admit not only that I couldn't control what and how I ate, but that my life was out of control. And it was like the jaywalker. I walked into traffic and was injured over and over again. But gosh, this can't happen again. And suddenly I'd have this thought to walk into traffic again. And guess what? Well, it does happen again. And this time it's worse, and I can't figure out why or how it happened. So I came to 12-step recovery and learned to just not eat today, to follow my food plan. And when I did that, guess what? I was amazed. When I stayed abstinent one day at a time, I actually started to feel better physically. And with the steps, I started to figure things out. So with me doing my 1%, I found my higher power would do the rest. And abstinence really is a gift. You know, it can be returned at any time. But do I really want to return this amazing gift, or do I want to hold on to it? And, you know, I have to say it can be really hard to get abstinent, but the gift is there for the taking. And if, you know, once I got honest about my food and my compulsive food behaviors, once I abstained from them long enough, I was able to form a habit. And, you know, in the doctor's opinion, the word habit is used there. These allergic types can never safely use alcohol in any form at all. And once having formed the habit and found they cannot break it. So I found if I stick to my food plan long enough, it too could become a habit. Not sticking to one becomes a habit, but sticking to one can become a habit. And, you know, a habit's an acquired behavior, and if you follow it regularly, it becomes almost involuntary. So the longer I kept the food down, the easier, and I think I'm going to run out of time here, the easier it became. So, you know, put the food down, you're going to start to figure things out, and our defense has to come from that first bite. It has to come from a higher power, so we don't have to continue to mangle our body. And thank you. With that, I pass, Elaine.
Perfect timing. Thank you so much, Kathleen O. Lisa G., you're up next, and after your share, we'll take some more people who would like to comment on the first paragraph on page 43, starting with Fred's story speaks for itself. Please go ahead, Lisa G.
Thanks, Elaine. Thanks for your service. This is Lisa G. from Texas, and thank you for everybody that shared. It's really an arrow in my heart in a good way. I got into food recovery about 11 years ago in another program, and I was mangled at that time because a doctor told me that my blood sugar was going up, and it scared me to death. At that time, I had a 13-year-old child, and I thought if I give myself diabetes, there's no excuse. So I went headlong into this program and lost 90 pounds pretty fast and felt great. Felt great, so proud of myself. And, you know, today I've been thinking this morning about, so I left that program because I started putting on weight about 9 years into the program. And, you know, I was aging. I mean, I went in at age 53, now I'm almost 64, and started gaining weight. So my sponsor took a lot of food away, and I still didn't lose any weight. So by that time, I was so ashamed and disgusted with myself, and I had a lot of shame around it. I didn't want to go back to those meetings because I didn't want them to see that I'd put on weight, because I knew how judgmental I was of other people that had left program or had started gaining weight, and I couldn't understand, how could you gain weight? You know, because I was like the queen of judgment, and I didn't even know it until it happened to me. And so now I found out about Vision last November. I've been listening, and I get like 5 days of abstinence, and then I break it. 3 or 4 days of abstinence, and then I break it. So now, you know, trying to, I think my biggest issue is I don't want to surrender. I don't want to surrender. I did this myself the first time. I can't do it now. It's not working the same way. And talking with my sponsor this morning, you know, I realized, or she saw, you know, yeah, I did it. And so this is a whole different story. It's very different to do it this way, to do it by just submitting and surrendering to my higher power. And I have to admit, I haven't been willing, because if I'd been willing, I would have already, you know, had some peace around this. I wouldn't keep having breaks and breaks and breaks. So I just wanted to share that. I don't know why I wanted to share that, but I did. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lisa G. Appreciate your share. Okay, we have time for about 5 people to comment on the first paragraph on page 43. Who would like to comment?
Nancy L.
Nancy L.
Freedom H.
Freedom H.
Melanie C.
Melanie C.
Leslie W.
Leslie
Mag
W.
C.
And Mag C. That'll do it. Wow, you guys like queued up so nicely. Thank you very much. Okay, we got Nancy L., Freedom H., Melanie C., Leslie W., and Mag C. Please go ahead, Nancy, and you'll be followed by Freedom H.
Thank you so much. This is Nancy L. in recovered in Arizona. I really like this small paragraph. Is it ever packed? Oh boy. You know, what I was thinking about, the has to be pretty badly mingled. But I just picture myself this morning when I was reading this, is getting my hand caught in one of those old-fashioned washing machine wringers and it had no automatic open or anything, and I was in tremendous pain, and I'm yelling and I'm screaming, and my husband's running around going, I'm going to get a crowbar, I'm going to fix it. I'm like, no, no, get me a candy bar. Just give me a candy bar and I'll be all right. How crazy is that? But that's exactly what my thinking was like. I just need something in my mouth and everything will be okay. And with that type of thinking, I was 216.5 pounds. I always have to say the half because I was growing. I was getting bigger and bigger and bigger and more desperate. And then I found the answer. I found the solution. And so now I remember what that life was like, and I've kept a few of my pictures of back then because, you know, it's a spiritual solution, no doubt, but when you're packing that much weight, I'm telling you, I was aching from head to toe. I probably had, I'd say maybe 7 massage machines, different types, handheld and the kind you put on your back, and I was just aching from head to toe, and I think the biggest was my heartache, the heartache for the way I treated people, the heartache for why I was so desperate, and I didn't have a solution back then. So I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Nancy L. Freedom H., you are up next. And you're followed by Melanie C.
Hi, thank you so much for everyone's service. I'm grateful for this OA meeting. I really like how it says Fred's story speaks for itself. There's a lot of truth in Fred's story and hope and experience and strength. And the thing is, I was like this, I had to be pretty mangled before they really commenced to solve their problems. And that's kind of how my story was. I had to be almost one day away from my deathbed before I decided to do something to try to find help and find solutions. I'm very thankful for this book. It's really teaching me a lot of experience, strength, and hope. I love listening to everyone's shares. They're like gems and diamonds to me. They're just feeding my soul full of positive. And with that, I'll mute. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, too, Freedom H. Appreciate your share. Melanie C., you're up next, followed by Leslie W. Please go ahead, Melanie.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Elaine. Hi. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Wilsonville, Oregon. I'm going to choose that same thing that Freedom was talking about. Fred's story speaks for itself. We hope it strikes home to thousands like him. And I was thinking about that, and what came to my mind was a line on page 34 of the big book, and it says, though you may be able to stop for a considerable period, you may yet be a potential alcoholic. And I think that that's possibly what they're referring to. We hope that thousands more are like Fred. Fred still seemed to clearly have a bit of good sense about him. He was able to learn from something of an experience and then had enough reasoning to still go back and ask for help about. I mean, there's still enough intact, you know, that he was willing to ask these fellows a little bit more. He needed no further convincing. This gal needed a little more convincing. But I think that that's what the big book is all about here, is, you know, folks that are curious, you know, I have a little issue with food, I got a little thing going on here. Then there's folks that are like me that are the stories that we're hearing today that had to go through the ringer. But what about these folks here? You know, I think about Clarence S. He was an old-time AA-er too, and he came in the rooms his late teens, early 20s, and there was quite an interesting discussion about that fella because Bill and the boys and gal didn't come in until their 40s, and they were then convinced that they really had to get beaten up bad, and that took time in order for anybody to be willing to let go of self-reliance and ego. It just wasn't going to happen any other way, and goodness gracious, give it away to a power that they didn't know. They were God. Certainly I was. And then that presented a whole new vision of things, a whole new vision where the same kind of suffering, losing everything, the mangled up families didn't have to occur. Goodness gracious, isn't that hopeful? If there's any ability to be able to see around the corner lights, Clarence could see. And he said, you know, I can see that I'm yet to be like y'all. Let me be here. And then the discussion was eventually to give the fella a try, you know, and he died sober many, many, many years. I think he was well in his 80s. And that's a wonderful example. And Fred gives us that same example here. He had it together. He had all those things going. And when he found out for himself, that was it. That was it. He didn't have to go any farther than like Melanie did in this particular case. I think that that brings about tremendous hope that this particular book is written. That if you yet are potential, if you think you're having a little bit of trouble, if you're just thinking, then, you know, perhaps that's not a bad deal to go ahead and research further. Talk to some folks about this thing. The other thing is that we are absolutely convinced this has its brilliant application for just living life in its order for everybody, whether you're an addict or not. And I think there's some tremendous value to that. But me, as a compulsive overeater and had to go the full length, my hope is always to be a model and example of what this 12 steps do on a personality and transferring them. And if I would have gotten this at 16 when I first got that nudge, they can too. Thank you so much, Pat.
Thank you very much, Melanie C. Appreciate all your service. Leslie W., you're up next, followed by Mag C. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Elaine. Thanks for your service. This is Leslie W. I'm recovered in Tennessee and compulsive overeater. And I just really can't identify here with Fred because I did feel the first nip of the ringer and decided to get help. You know, it's funny because when I first came in, I thought that I was so desperate and destitute. And then I looked around to see and hear what some of the other people in these rooms have been through, suffering with this disease for decades. I'm so grateful that I had not had that experience. I was 30 when I first came into the rooms. I'm now 40, and I just, you know, it took me several years to fully understand the nature of my illness. It took a while for me to get it because I had not lost everything. I had not hit that place where some people have. I still had a husband and a baby and a house, and my life was, if you looked at it from the outside, it was seemingly, you know, if you looked at me, I was seemingly pretty well put together. But I felt like I was insane. What was going on inside my head, I knew was not normal. I was felt like I was going crazy and losing my mind. And I was so depressed. I had suffered from postpartum so badly, and the disease just jumped on me. It was a perfect opportunity. And I really thought I was going crazy. And so I just thank God today that I was able to stay in these rooms long enough to hear the voices on the Vision for You line and to be open to a new way of thinking. And to grab hold of this new way of living in these steps, regardless of the fact that I had not been my situation had not been as dire as some others. And I think that's the reason why it took me so long to really understand, you know, get recovered and really take these steps and work this program aggressively, was because I thought I just wasn't that bad. I had never been to treatment. I didn't have 200 pounds to lose. But the true test was my brain, my head, what was going on inside my head. Because I looked normal on the outside, but I was crazy on the inside. So I'm glad I am working this program today with all of you and glad to be on the line. Okay.
Me too, Leslie. Glad you're here with us. And Meg C., you are up next. Please go ahead. Mag C.
Hey, everybody. This is Mag C. in Denver, and it is a gorgeous day here. And so what hits me about Fred's story is the spiritual principles would solve all my problems. And when I came into this program, I was 34, completely, highly, overly responsible individual, in a position of financial security, in a position where I was the boss, and I knew my shit, and no one could tell me different. And just like someone else was saying, I was completely and totally crazy, and I knew it. So even for the best moments of my old life, I would not exchange them for the worst of the moments I have now. And I just want to call BS because I used to be so mistrusting and so perfectionistic that I would be like, look, I got myself out of bad situations over and over again. I maintained this size 4 and I look good and blah, 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 blah. And honestly, I was crazy on the inside because I was exhausted. I was so tired and lonely because that kind of mistrust and perfectionism really led me to do exercising maybe, 2 to 4 hours a day. And if I didn't do that, then I couldn't eat. And I was a calorie counter. And I had done Jenny Craig and Weight Watchers. And I spent so much money. And everything worked for a little while until it didn't work anymore, until somehow life got in the way and I got sad or I got mad. And I didn't know how to cope. I had no idea. These steps are the spiritual principles that I follow. These steps taught me to slow down, take a deep breath, call someone, and figure out really what's going on. If I don't do that, then I'm going to eat all over again. And my spirit really needed a lot of help. I felt like my soul was just tied up in knots. And I could not see loving my body because it had betrayed me. It was betraying me on a daily basis. Why can't I be thinner? Why do I have to even eat? And that amount of self-hatred for my body, kind of has landed me in some of the problems I have now. Now I'm 50 and I am retired disabled and I have a completely different view of my body. There are days I feel like my body has betrayed me because I can't get up and walk. I can't get up and run. I can't get up and, oh, thank you. And there are days that I'm just like, how do I do this? And that's when this program saves me. I have habits, like someone else said, that I can do every single day. And one of them is coming to this meeting. And thank you so much. I am beholden to these steps and love you guys. Thank you.
Oh, thank you too, Meg C. We have just about 1 minute. If somebody would like to take it, you'd be most welcome.
Mrs. Penny LC, I'd be happy to take that.
Please go ahead, Penny LC.
Thank you. Penny LC, a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. I appreciated piggybacking on the share. Somebody mentioned the principles of the program and, the mangling that I had was what I was doing to myself by living by all those anti-principles. I was dishonest, untrustful, untrustworthy. I was, insecure. I was desperately afraid of things. And I was so self-centered and self-pitying. And today I can do it so much differently thanks to recovery. I can be honest and focus on my truth and the reality around me. I can hold integrity today in the way I conduct myself. You know, I can be of service and reach out to others. Such a gift. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Penny LC, and thank you everybody that shared today. We'll now transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And please stay on the line because we'll greet newcomers, seek available sponsors, and have some announcements. So will Penny LC please read a vision for you?
Thank you very much, Elaine. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.